You're listening to the Real Recruiting Story Podcast, where current college baseball players reflect on the recruiting process. Every player has a personal story that hasn't been shared until now. The quest to get committed by a college doesn't have to be a difficult journey. Mark Wright has coached dozens of high school baseball players, helping literally hundreds of showcase players navigate the next chapter of their careers. And now, here's your host, Mark Wright.
I'm super excited to introduce Nick Stewart today. Here comes a good story of a kid who initially thought the best fit was a Power 5 conference, so he entertained some mid-majors, but never closes those deals, and then has some minor setbacks, but never hits a panic button, trusts the process, and lands a good fit at James Madison University. He becomes a weekend starter as a freshman, and now going into his senior year as an MLB draft candidate. In high school, Nick was a varsity swim captain and also all-conference baseball player. As a freshman in college, he was a member of the CAA all-rookie team after 13 appearances, including 12 starts, and he finished with a 2.8 ERA and a season-high 10 strikeouts versus UMass. As a sophomore, he started all 15 games he appeared as the Saturday guy, collecting 61 Ks and posting a 2.74 ERA. Before last season was cut short, he struck out 19 batters in 19 innings, including 8 in his first start of the year against NC State. He's majoring in sports and recreation management with a minor in business, but based on his firm breaking ball and fastball in the mid-90s, Nick's got a real shot in the pending draft. Welcome to the show, Nick Stewart. All right, well, welcome to the show, Nick Stewart. Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Why don't you tell me about summer baseball? I mean, that I know you're at school. Most of the schools around the country are on some sort of stall, education or baseball, but you played baseball this summer. How was that?
Yeah, I was one of the few to get able to play this summer, actually. And fortunately, I was able to get in this league. You know, it kind of came around and I was able to – I just kind of was like, I got to sign up for that. You know, I got to be a part of that because I don't know how many summer leagues are actually going to play. So I signed up early. Luckily, I got in. I mean, it was awesome. It was great to be back on the field, you know, because half our spring got canceled. So it was good to be back out there and playing with some guys and meeting new friends.
Was there any limitations on, like, pitchers as far as, like, what you guys were permitted to do or required to do? Or?
Yeah, we had to – for the first time in a long time, actually, I've gone somewhere to play summer ball where I wasn't limited to how many pitches I can throw in the summer because of the long spring. So that was good to not have. But there was also limitations from the league on starting back up. So I think it was the first week we could only throw 50 pitches. And then it kind of gradually went up just so guys weren't coming out of quarantine. Or I mean, you can say you do work, but the guys that are not actually doing work, that's how people get hurt. So they just kind of had it better to be safe than sorry in a buildup.
Your appearances leading up to that, obviously you were on quarantine. So your first outing compared to your fifth outing, were you already in good enough shape, you think, your first outing to go longer? Or are you glad you were on some sort of limited?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I work out at a place in the area, and I was kind of ready for it. But one thing I can tell you I was not ready for was the heat. I got out there on my first appearance, and I mean, I've been throwing bullpens inside for 3-4 months. I got out there in the heat, and I thought I was going to have a heat stroke within the first 5 minutes. So, I mean, I think physically my arm was ready, but I don't know if my body and being out in the heat for that long was ready.
No, that's a good point. Actually, I mean, from your experience, but just training in general, a lot of people would mean well and they're doing stuff in their air conditioning house or at facilities with fans. Mm-hmm. There's typically when you go down to, you know, WWBA, if you're a 17U or 16U player on the turf field in Atlanta, there's no fans or air conditioning. So it's a little hard to compete. So yeah, that's a good takeaway. I like that. All right, well, let's get into recruiting here for you. I mean, so for me, I think what I find intriguing, I'm interested to hear you talk about it, is you got recruited by multiple schools. But as I recall, I mean, you wanted to go to a big Power 5 conference. And by the time you were recruited, you didn't necessarily have those metrics at the time. And I'm going to go to the back of the book already. Fast forward, you have some incredible metrics now. So, I mean, you've definitely matured since the time you were recruited, committed to right now. But if we rewind the tape, what was it about your recruiting process that you think you liked, and what do you think you'd steer differently if you can, now having gone through it?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, with you were talking about trying to make it to that Power 5 conference, you know, I'm very young for my grade. I mean, I came into college 17 years old, so I didn't even turn 18 when I was coming to college, which was good and bad at the same time. You know, I kind of was building up, and then I had a little drop off, and then I was able to build back up again. But I mean, honestly, going back, I don't know if I would really change anything. I mean, I love the place that I'm at. I mean, maybe would have committed a little sooner just to be able to relax a little bit more. I know it's a very stressful process, but I mean, honestly, I don't regret any decision. I mean, I waited till October of my senior year, and I mean, I loved it. I loved my decision. I was able to not make that early decision in my high school career where I'm picking a school that I might not like later.
Yeah, no, it is good. And I think that's probably what the one thing I would hope people listen to, that you had offers and you didn't take them. And that could be stressful to a lot of people, or some people might think foolhardy to not take an offer. But I mean, for lack of a better word, you didn't rush into your decision. Whereas, you know, if it didn't work out, people would say, you know, you passed on opportunities. But obviously you're living proof that, no, you waited and it all worked out. And October of a senior isn't necessarily late. It's later than other people. Mm-hmm. It's just later. I mean, you still were playing fall baseball on a fall showcase team. You trained all winter. You had a high school season, a summer. I mean, you had a lot of seasons before you even went to college by the time you committed. So there's, I mean, that the moral of the story, there's no reason to rush. I mean, everyone has a reason to commit early or later, but you really, you know, went through the process and it all worked out, like you said, in the end.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's tough. I mean, when you're getting those offers and it's like, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. But you honestly, you got to sit down and think like, I don't know if this is really a school for me. I mean, there was one point where, I mean, obviously I'm not going to name the school, but a school offered me and it was kind of like you said later. And I was like, ooh, like I'm going to commit here. And when deep down, I know I really didn't want to go there, but it was, I got to do it. It's getting late. And I mean, there's no rush. Like literally you could commit the day before you go into campus and it's not a big deal. Like you're still going to be treated with the same amount of respect, whether you're the first commit or the last commit coming into a team.
Oh, that, well, now that's awesome too. You say that, 'cause yeah, most people, whether they talk about, you know, walk-ons versus people on scholarships, what people's scholarships percentages are, as you know, that means nothing to the starting lineup or where you're at. I mean, you don't play because you have a bigger scholarship or you have any scholarship. I mean, that's a big fallacy in college baseball and like pro sports. So the timing of it is completely, you know, irrelevant. It's just how you produce. Now you did talk about you had a drop off, and I think what you were talking about is you actually had, was it dead arm? Is that the official dead arm?
Yeah.
I mean, you just couldn't gain any more velocity or even lost some. Take me through that. What, like, how does that pan out in practices, inter squads, tournament games? I mean, when did you realize, hey, I'm not only am I not gaining velocity, I might be losing a mile per hour?
Exactly. Yeah. I guess it was my junior year summer. That's like, everyone's like, oh, that's your big summer. Which, I mean, in reality, it's really not. Every event that you go to is a big, big time. But, you know, it was like I'm going in my junior year summer. I had thrown a lot in the spring in high school. And, I mean, my arm was just tired. It wasn't hurt. I didn't have anything wrong with me. I was just throwing. My arm felt great. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was like 87. And they're like, actually, it was 83. I was like, oh, that's not good. So, I mean, I didn't really know what it was at first. I thought maybe I just – my arm was unhealthy or maybe I was hurt and I got it checked out, and I don't know what the actual medical term for it is, but I was told dead arm by a bunch of pitching people. So, I mean, I guess I had dead arm that summer, and, you know, I just shut down towards a little sooner than when most people do and shut down rest of my arm. And then I came back a month later, back to normal.
Nice.
Actually even better, but yeah, back to normal and then growing on that even more.
So what's your fastball at now? What can you pitch at in a game?
Last summer, I topped it at 96.
At 96. Back then, when you were committing and stressed out with proverbial dead arm, what was your velocity at?
With dead arm, 83 to 84. Maybe touching a 7 if I was lucky.
Sure.
You know, those days where everyone's like, oh, I feel great. Yeah, that was my 87. So nothing flashy.
No, but I'm saying, but that was a stressful point in your life then when you're trying to get recruited. Now you have to entertain phone calls from, you know, teams, you know, pro teams, you know, that are interested in the fact that your velocity has gone up so much. So besides that moment in time of rest, just sounds like you just needed rest. What have you done to increase velocity in general? What do you think is the secret, at least for Nick Stewart, whether it's good for other pitchers or just you, what do you think it's been
really good to you increasing your arm velo?
I think honestly, I think it really started based on in high school, I would do a lot of explosive stuff. You know, it was constantly getting my arm in shape, getting my body, being able to move quickly. And then when I stepped foot onto campus, it was like, let's do these strong lifts and we're going to do heavy squat instead of explosive stuff. And, you know, I'd done explosive stuff my whole life. So like my strength coach here actually was like, have you ever lifted before? And I was like, yeah, I lift all the time. Like I lifted all the time in high school. But I honestly think it benefited me even more because when I was younger, I was getting that explosive. Like I was keeping my body healthy. I was doing lighter lifts, just explosive stuff. But then as I matured, I started doing heavier stuff to where I put weight on my body. My coaches pretty much were just like, eat as much as you can. I mean, that's definitely another blessing is, you know, at JMU, we have one of the best dining facilities in the country. So it's definitely doesn't hurt to go to a dining hall and just eat as much as you can. So I think that definitely helped, eating as much as I could, lifting as hard as I could, and just kind of pushing my body to, you know, every time you step in the weight room, you want to be the best player on the field. You're not at the field at that time, but in your mind, you should be, I'm going to do everything I can to be the best on the field when I step on the field the next time, and leaving everything in the past, and just tomorrow's a new day and you're just trying to get better for that day.
So when let's go with the diet. So as far as eating at that point, like I said, you're 17, 18 years old. When you first get to school, is literally it's for you, it was just as easy as just eat and eat a lot because you'd never really had done that. You were eating before because it was time to eat, whereas in college mm-hmm. now you were making a point to eat. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, I came in to school 175 pounds, and I think at one point I was eating my sleep where I would just have protein bars next to my bed in my dorm room and just wake up in the middle of the night and eat one. It was just whenever you can eat, you eat, and it's eat as much as you can.
So you were 175 when you got there. How tall?
I was, I think 6'3", when I maybe 6'4".
Okay. Well, it's 6'4", 175. What are you right now?
6'5", 235.
235. Yeah. I mean, you put on some serious weight. So yeah,
good weight. I mean, at first it was just put on as much weight as you can and then you tone it out. So, you know, now I'm at the point where, I mean, I can throw 93, 95 and I like the way that I'm at right now. And so now it's basically maintaining my weight. So whatever I've done, I continue to do that.
And with your lifts, I mean, are you doing like Olympic lifts where you're doing squats and deadlifts?
Yeah, we do a lot of squats, all sorts of stuff, really. A lot of core, deadlift, really just anything that you can put a lot of weight on. Obviously, it's all under a strength coach. You know, when you're in high school, you don't really have as many facilities and as many people watching you when you're doing lifts. So, I mean, I'd definitely be careful with that. But I mean, once you get into college, it's Olympic lifts and you're doing it heavy and somebody's watching you to make sure your form's perfect every time.
How about your grips or your secondary pitches? Have you changed anything from when the recruiting process started to now when you're in college?
Yeah. I would definitely, I mean, not the basic stuff, but I mean, I would say my fastball and my changeup are the same. I came into college with the fastball, changeup, and curveball, more like a slurve type thing. And then I guess it was after my freshman year or my sophomore year fall, I started to throw a slider. And I just kind of took that and ran with it, honestly. That's kind of my go-to pitch now for a strikeout pitch. So I was kind of blessed with just kind of being able to find that and develop it. You know, our pitching coach is phenomenal here. So, I mean, he's constantly working with me on it. And then just recently this past summer, I almost stopped throwing my curveball. And just this past summer, I switched my grip to more of a 12-6 type thing to play off the slider. And I mean, we'll see how it is once I be able to step back on the baseball field, but it's good to have. And I definitely say it has changed, but not drastically, just
sure.
You're just trying to constantly improve your game.
That's awesome. And I mean, during that high school process, you're trying to fight off, you know, just dead arm and you're doing just lifts. You're trying to get better, but I mean, you've got the, like you said, the facilities and the access to a lot of smart people to get you better along the way. If you're going back now, back in high school, you're doing the showcases, were you going to different camps to try to like market yourself, or were you basically marketing yourself through your showcase program? How are you trying to be resourceful and get schools to look at you?
Yeah, I don't think I went to any camps. The only camps that I ever went to were with If I was talking to a school and they'd be like, okay, well, this guy isn't able to come recruit you on these days, come to this camp and so our other coaches can see you. And we'll bring you out here and all our coaches can see you. And it had to be a school that I was really interested in. And honestly, I think I only really did that with JMU, to be honest with you. But most of it was going out on showcases and selling my stuff in a game, you know, getting out there and playing with my team. I mean, the better team that you're playing is the better team that you're able to show up against and be able to compete against. And that's kind of how you get your eyes seen.
Now on the recruiting trail, when you were going through the process, were you entertaining going to D2 or D3? Did that ever come up?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely came up when it came to the end of my career, my end of my high school career.
Sure, yeah.
And I mean, I still hadn't committed yet. I was considering all options. I mean, I love the game of baseball and I was going to play it no matter what. And if I didn't have any Division I offers, I was going to go to a D2, D3, JUCO, anywhere I could to be able to prove myself to get to the next level. It's always about the next step.
In high school, you were a position player through all 4 years or three, or how did that work out? Were you shortstop, third baseman? What did you do in high school?
I guess you could say I was a position player for probably, you can say all 4 years, but more like three. You know, my senior year was more of a, I just sat on first base and tried to hit the ball as far as I could. But, you know, I would, my first.
Did that work? Did you hit the ball as far as, did you hit any homers?
Of course.
Awesome.
Yeah, my senior year was just trying to drop bombs and sit on first base. You know, at that time I had already committed. So, I mean, you're just having fun with it. I mean, you can never get your high school times back, you know, so it's just having fun with it and going out and playing with my teammates and my friends. So, I mean, I guess, yes, I was a position player for all 4 years, but more like three.
And now on your showcase team, were you a pitcher only for all 4 years, or did you, your 15-year season, did you play a position?
Right out of freshman year, I became a PO. That was my first year as a PO.
Okay, so you finished your freshman year playing as a position player in high school. And how do you come to terms with that? Is that because it's different for everybody. Was that something that was easy for you to basically, for lack of a better word, adapt to? Did you talk to your parents about it? Was there a meeting with your showcase team? Like, how does that work when you just finished playing high school baseball and then you're going to go be a PO on a showcase team? I mean, I know you played on a high-end team, but still, do you remember if it was controversial within your family, or was it just the means to an end, that's what you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a decision that needed to be thought over. It was kind of hard at first. You know, I had to talk to my parents, but it was the right decision to be made, honestly. And I mean, to be able to, and I knew that I couldn't go play a position on that team. You know, I frankly wasn't good enough, but I knew that I could throw for the team that I was going to. So, I mean, it was a tough decision to be made, but it was the right one to be made. And, you know, I just kind of swallow my feelings and go after and start pitching as hard as I could.
When you think back to when you were going through the recruiting process, can you think of any pitfalls or mistakes that you went into, or just any redos? If you could hit a rewind, I know you said you have no regrets, big picture, but I'm talking about literally anecdotes, any phone calls that were, any emails you sent, any performances that you did anything. Like you said, was it literally you learned from any mistakes and it was just all, it worked out how it was?
I think that really the biggest thing would be one time I was playing in a game and I think it was my sophomore year. So, I mean, I was kind of getting on people's radars. And I mean, it was just kind of, I mean, that's when everything kind of sparks up. You know, that's when you, I mean, it gets earlier and earlier every year. But when I was going through high school, it was your sophomore year, was everything kind of started, teams started to talk to you. And I remember being at, I think it was in New Jersey. What's that place called? Diamond Nation, I think.
Yep.
And I just had a terrible outing and there was a ton of people there. And I just kind of like sat down. I mean, not necessarily a mistake, but more of a learning experience. And I sat down and I was like, I'm not going to let this happen again. You know, when I step on the mound, I'm the best player in the area. And I mean, I'm going to do everything I can to show off myself, to be in front of those scouts and make them want me on their team.
And what about just any general generic piece of advice that you could give? So to a 17 or 16, you, what it could be pitcher or position player. What do you think would help somebody that's, because obviously, which is kind of unique. I know high school baseball in general, I think is aligning with most of the colleges where it's pretty limited and restricted, but showcase baseball is virtually what it was like when you were back playing showcase baseball. I mean, it's full tilt. People are traveling. They're going to multiple states. People, you know, for lack of a better word, fortunately, are playing, you know, 20 or 30 games this fall. With that being said, what type of advice would you give somebody who's going through right now that's going through the recruiting process?
I mean, I would definitely say, I mean, if you love the game of baseball, play it as long as you can. You know, all these people are D1 or bust, and that's what I want to do. I want to play Division I baseball. And, you know, there's only a certain amount of guys that really get to do that. You know, I mean, there is a lot of schools and a lot of guys do go Division I. But if you're not one of those guys, that doesn't mean it's the end of the road. I mean, you can be – I know plenty of guys that I played with, I mean, last summer in the Cape, at just any really level. I mean, you're talking about some of the best players in the country are like, oh, yeah, I went to a Division III school for my first 2 years of college, and then I transferred because I kind of grew. So, I mean, it doesn't matter where you are right now. I mean, you're in high school, and it's really – you just got to stay with the plan. I mean, if you love the game of baseball, you got to commit yourself to it and really just kind of get after it, get after it in the weight room. Get after it when you're eating chicken with your mom, chicken and rice, you know, just in your diet, everything that you do needs to be revolved around baseball. And the way that you perform in the classroom, I mean, everything that you do needs to be first class, and that you're constantly committed to bettering yourself as a person and on the field.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you were a high academic kid, right? So you kept several doors open for you. So I'm sure you can appreciate that. I think that's lost on some people who, you know, they equate, again, being just a little younger and the process that you think high academic, and they right away think there's, you know, only so many schools and they're not interested in those schools. I don't think they realize how they hinder their ability to actually be attracted. I talk to your coaches a lot, and the GPA is a huge deal because, like you said, to them, if you're goofing off in the classroom, there's definitely, it's not always an indicator, but it could indicate that maybe you're just not going to be serious in the weight room, or maybe you're not going to be a serious pregame. Or maybe you're not going to be as serious, you know, just on game day in general. So, I mean, there's a correlation between just how competitive you want to be in the classroom compared to how competitive you want to be on game day. So I think that's really good info from you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you were saying, I mean, you're goofing off in class. And, I mean, you get to – I mean, I guess it's kind of like that in high school. I don't know exactly the requirements on what classes and, like, how much you need to pass. But, I mean, you get to college and you're not passing your classes, you're not going to play. So – I mean, is it really worth it to slack off in class to where now you have a GPA where I can't play this spring? And I mean, it's, if you stay consistent in being in high school, you're going to teach yourself that in college you need to do the things that you know works and that you know how to do, get your stuff done.
When you were younger at James Madison, or even now, were there times when you wouldn't necessarily travel if you weren't going to pitch? Or does anyone on your team not travel and instead stay back and do homework?
Yeah, so actually playing summer ball, I learned that this isn't a very common thing. So I guess it's kind of cool, and it's my favorite day of the week. But fortunately, I was able to come in my freshman year, and our Sunday guy got hurt on the second pitch of the game, and I just kind of got thrown into the position, and I started on Sundays my freshman year. And then sophomore year, I started on Saturdays, and then this past year, I started on Fridays. And weekend guys don't travel to our midweek games. So if we're playing on the road on a midweek game, I don't travel, which is my, honestly, I hope my coach doesn't listen to this, but that's my favorite day of the week. I mean, I go to school, I get my classwork done. And besides the day that I pitch, of course, that's my favorite day. But
yeah,
I mean, I get my classwork done and I kick my feet up and watch the game on TV and just watch my teammates. I mean, there's nothing cooler than watching your team and guys that, you know, play on TV in the midweek. And I mean, me and the other weekend guys, they'll just come over and watch the game. And I mean, we'll get fired up. But yeah, so I don't travel. All of our weekend starters don't travel to midweek games unless it's like spring break or school's out to where you don't have school. But I mean, that's one of the biggest focuses is if it's a midweek, you're going to class. I mean, oftentimes you're leaving. Sometimes it's Tuesday, Wednesday, both are away and you're leaving at 10 o'clock in the morning. You miss those classes, and it's like, if you're not going to pitch, I mean, I'm staying back to go to class, and then once my class day is done, I mean, I can get my work in and
sure, it's awesome,
and just watch it.
That's awesome stuff. Well, thanks, man. You've had some really good information. I want to close out like normal, like I do, just to get a little feel for each player. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of random questions here.
All right.
If you could play any other college sport, what athlete, what sport would you be?
football, and I would be a quarterback.
Did you play in high school?
I played my freshman year, but it didn't work out too well. But I would definitely play football. I mean, if you're going to a big school with a big football team, I mean, it's awesome. And it's a great environment on Saturday. So
it is definitely pretty, football. You have a good football school. All right. What's your favorite dugout snack?
Seeds.
What music do you listen to before you pitch?
I do not listen to music. That's my superstition.
Do you listen to any favorite music when you don't pitch?
It's really my mood, honestly, whatever I'm in the mood for, any genre.
All right. If you were forced to snowboard or ski, what would you do?
Snowboard.
And when your parents come to see you pitch after the games, what do you like to eat?
Outback steak, always. And good they stuff. Get so mad at me for it. Every time they're like, oh, we come to see you play. Where do you want to go to dinner? Outback, always. Actually, not necessarily Outback, just always a steak.
That's awesome. All right. And then best basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Got to go Michael Jordan.
Very cool. All right, Nick. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please tune into our next episode, and thanks for listening.